VentureCast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay. I mean, it's like a hot dog with lobster and it costs $37. So I don't get why people are willing to pay so much for them, but they're good.
And finally,
Tim. Wait, that's it? There's no pushback on that? Or?
I don't eat seafood.
Ah, Ben?
I can't eat bread, but basically anything, any flesh with mayonnaise is great. That's my take on it. And it's my understanding that a lobster roll is flesh with mayonnaise, so we're good here.
Aren't you glad I pushed a little bit? Any flesh with mayonnaise is good is our new slogan, and that is all there is to it.
We've been looking for the trailer.
If that's not on a t-shirt by Christmas, then the marketing department.
What are we doing? Yeah. We've been looking for our trailer. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Jeff Simons in Berkeley, California. Happy holidays.
Same to you. Ben, Tim has a tree behind him already.
Get it in the
holiday season.
Yeah.
Could be a fake backup picture. We're not sure. Ben Barton, hello. There in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Everything's going great. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday and did not disappoint this year.
Well, I want you to know that there is a chill in the air with this podcast. Brr. It is New England, gentlemen. New England.
Oh, it's cold in New England. Of course, of course.
Of course it is. Ben Barton, get things started. How many states are in New England?
Oh, this is a good one. Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts. And I'm done, right?
You are done. Thank you for not saying New York. Which is the one that my students always say. Jeff Simons, who named New England?
A bunch of people from England would be my guess.
it was young John Smith in 1616 when he created the map of New England. John Smith sailed by my hometown of Scituate, Massachusetts, and we have a historical marker right in Cohasset Harbor, marking the point where John Smith sailed by. And when some Indians came out on the point and shot arrows at the ship, John Smith kept sailing to New England, but shot cannon fire at these Indians back in 1609, America's first drive-by shooting.
Is that what the plaque says?
It does not say that. That's,
you know, we would have a plaque where Drake sailed by San Francisco Bay, but it's too big to put a plaque. That's my favorite. Like,
he just
whoops.
Missed it. He did not know there was a bay.
There are foggy days here where I'm like, oh, that's how he missed it for sure. Like where you can't see your hand in front of your face, but he sailed right by San Francisco Bay into Drake's Bay and was an unsuccessful colony because Drake's Bay is about the size of a swimming pool. And like 8 miles away was the biggest natural bay on the west coast. Like, Jesus, damn shame there's not another place we could park all these boats.
Poor Drake. Gosh, Drake really does take a beating on our podcast. Listen, we need to talk about something before we go on with New England. My colleague's student wrote a paper. And so this is a ninth grade student. I'm not sure the topic of the paper, but within the paper.
I'm sorry, did you say colleague/student or colleagues?
No, my student. Colleague's student.
Got it, because I was like, you're hiring 14-year-olds?
Well, this is the power of our podcast, that my colleagues come to me with any musical tidbits. This student wrote that there are only four artists who will be known in 200, 300 years, who will still have relevance. These are the artists who will stand the test of time. Can't hundreds of this. Years from now. Bruno Mars.
Okay, off to a bad start.
Green Day.
Still not helping.
Justin Bieber. And Jimmy Buffett.
Who is this kid? Is this kid like a 150-year-old man hiding as a 14-year-old in your school?
Jimmy Buffett's
my favorite of those, actually.
Jimmy Buffett's such an amazing get, because after the first three, I was like, well, he's just naming like contemporary artists that will not be famous. He just forgot the Beatles, or he doesn't consider that part of this group. But then when you throw Jimmy Buffett in, you're like, oh, no. Considered the Beatles, chose Jimmy Buffett. Let alone Mozart. Has he heard of Mozart? I hear good things about Mozart. It's already been 400 years.
Is this child from Florida? Is he from Key West? I don't know. I'll have to do some more work on that.
Is this serious, or is he just taking the piss out of your colleague? It's a brilliant fake essay if he didn't mean it. Like, I couldn't think of four funnier artists to say would stand the test of time.
Sadly, it was real, and I don't know as a teacher how I would handle that, coming across that in a paper. I think I would have trouble.
I know how I would handle it.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right, let's get back to New England. Our arrival song, Ben Barton, no snark. Jeff Simons, go a minute and 11 seconds in. Listen, we all have our guilty pleasures, Ben Barton, and this one is mine.
Here we go.
Manilow at the top of his game. That's the song I've got on as I fly into New England.
What is that song called?
It's called Weekend in New England, which is really hilarious that that's the name of this. Like, it's like naming your song like Eating This Sandwich.
No, the thing that's so funny about it is that if you were going to choose a really dumb, horrible song about having a vacation in New England, how could you miss the Pina Colada song, which is a vastly superior version of that song?
Wait, are they in New England?
Yes, they long walks on the Cape.
Oh,
they make love in the dunes on the Cape. What Cape do you think? Yep. It's not Cape Horn.
Is it Cape May? It seems like a jersey.
You never know.
It's definitely Cape Cod, for sure.
It definitely is.
Barry,
and she said, oh, it's you. It's the best line in that song, for sure.
So great.
All right. That is some spirit. You know, it's so funny, though. That kind of sums up how I feel about New England. Like, I have never really quite gotten the whole thing. I mean, probably just jealousy being from the mid-Atlantic, where everything is a little hotter and a little more full of mosquitoes and a lot less charming. But the New England thing, like, oh, the leaves and oh, the Cape. I'm like, I've been to those places and I'm like, yeah.
But
I have this kind of like snarky cynicism about the whole thing that Barry Manilow really like lays in the cut of. So
did you like Vermont?
I did like Vermont quite a bit. And I've been to New Hampshire in that height of leaf changing moment, and it is quite something. But the beaches are a little rocky for me and
cold.
I prefer a southern Atlantic Pacific beach to the New England beaches. So
Ben Barton, how often do you get to New England?
So I spent many a summer in New England. My mom ran a business on Nantucket. And so we went up there. We started going there for a week or two every summer. And then from the time I was, 15, 16, we spent every summer all the way through college there. So I spent a lot of time on Nantucket, and then I like went to camp in Maine. Like I've been up and down all over around New England.
What part of Maine were you in for your camp?
No idea. The coasty part.
Maine.
I definitely was in Maine. And then I went through Vermont and New Hampshire on that trip to Maine.
To Maine. All right. I've got several New England facts for us here. The number one consumer of ice cream in the country, the New England per capita consumption of ice cream beats every other area of the country. My mother actually accounts for a good portion of that.
I approve heartily of that.
Of the ice cream.
I have no qualms with that. Is it because of Ben and Jerry, or did Ben and Jerry thrive because they were smart enough to see the niche market?
Yeah, because Friendly's was already there, killing it with the Fribble.
Anyone is that ice cream though?
Oh, I've been to Friendly's. I've had many a Friendly burger, and I've had a Fribble.
I have too, but is a Fribble ice cream? It's a shake.
It's a shake. But they make their own ice cream. Breyers is up there. Oh, they got all the ice cream. Don't worry.
Hood? Isn't Hood up there? Isn't that those little cups?
That's right. Those little cups of goodness. Top five, is Carvel
New England?
No, that's New York. That's
okay.
Top five most populous cities in New England. Be careful here, gentlemen. Be careful. Again, this is a team effort. Can you name the top five most populous cities? Let's be careful out there. Go.
We're going to do this in order, or how are we going to do it?
You can go ahead and confirm with each other the name of the city and throw it out.
Well, let's choose Boston number one. How do you
feel about that? Yes, I agree with Boston as number one.
Correct.
Okay. And then we have a choice between Hartford and Providence.
Providence, Hartford.
Stop there. Then all the rest of them are going to be in Connecticut. It's going to be like Stanford and Bridgeport. Like the things that hug up against New York.
Interesting. Although,
I mean, none of the suburbs of Boston are big enough, right? Like Worcester, that's nothing, right?
Is Worcester even a suburb of Boston? Isn't that way out in Western Mass?
Whatever. None of those places count. So let's go Hartford, Providence, Boston. We feel good about those.
Yes.
Hartford is out.
No way.
Hartford, no makey.
Providence is number three. Hartford is not in the top five.
So we missed two.
Which, by the way, brings me back to what you were saying last time, Ben, about Cleveland. Like, holy smokes, Hartford isn't in the top five. Totally.
Yeah.
Hartford is just kind of empty.
Yeah, totally. Once the Whalers left, that was it for Hartford. Everybody else followed along.
Last thing they're hanging on to.
Now, the Connecticut, the law school there, the University of Connecticut Law School is there, not in stores. And it's tough. That's a tough town. You don't think of Connecticut is actually the wealthiest state in the union, and all of their urban areas suck.
It's true, man. Connecticut is it.
It's
Connecticut.
It's
don't even get me started on Connecticut. geez, I don't know. None of the cities. Like, no,
Stanford
Maine,
for sure. Stanford, Connecticut.
Okay.
Now your Connecticut call is with Bridgeport. Bridgeport.
Okay, I had Bridgeport. Great.
Worcester is number two. Worcester is second.
I was going to say.
Worcester's that big?
I kind of wanted to say Worcester. It's big.
How many people live in Worcester? 20,000-seat
arena.
It goes Boston, Worcester, Providence, Springfield, and Bridgeport.
Oh, Springfield. Wow, I would not have gotten that.
I know. I was shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
I've been to Springfield. That's where the NBA Hall of Fame is.
Yep, I've been to the NBA Hall of Fame.
Me too, for sure. Nice. I did the Papa shot.
And well, tell me about this. Is Route 95 America's most unpleasant highway? That 95 for Boston down to New York City. It's the worst experience. Is there a worse stretch in America? What do you got?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Dude, what do you got?
All you have to do is drive 80 around the curve past Gary, Indiana, into Chicago. That stretch.
Really?
Oh, good Lord. Yes. No, it's like a dystopian future where all the humans have been replaced by rotting industrial plants. It's just brutal.
God. And it's always under construction. There is always a lane closed between Gary and
it's, the next, I mean, it's snowy miles. And shitty.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, 95 is awful up there, but I have a soft spot for 95 going south because it's how you get to Florida. It's how you get through all those southern states. And that was my childhood going to visit my grandmother. So.
And there's an OG Jeff Simon song called.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Best, all right. Best left forgotten.
I love that one.
Speaking of songs, the compilation contest, we have 15 songs that reference New England coming at you. I demand that the two of you get 11 of these artists. 11 of these artists.
11, huh?
And we still don't have a name for this segment. So the compilation continues to do its work.
Okay, so I'm playing it. You ready, Ben?
I'm ready.
Mine, the reins to the boat. I moved the world from New York to New England, New Hampshire, New London, New Jersey, New Zealand.
That would I anticipate. Oh, yeah.
Father died. I left him a little farm in New England.
So I guess I'll stay here in New England for autumn.
I've heard that song. You didn't have access to the A studio this week, huh? That's so obviously made on a boombox.
Sorry about that. We did our best. What with the traveling and all. All right.
I don't think we're going to get more than 10 unless you pulled a rabbit out of your hat, Ben.
Oh, no way.
Ben, get us started.
Oh, that's it?
No, we got to give us one more. Listen,
dude. I'm sorry. Any conversation beforehand?
If you want to pause.
Do you have any idea who the rapper is?
No idea. I'm going to say 50 Cent. I have no idea.
Okay. Well, let's listen again. You get no hints? No hints for anything? Okay.
All there is suffering. There are no hints.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Did you get 14?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Good.
I think you should be careful with number 13. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, that's totally unfair. There are 40 covers of that song. You could kiss my ass. I know the song.
Yeah, we know the popular song, so you're going to go ahead and give it to us for sure.
Yeah. I mean, just kiss my ass with that. Like, that's like asking who did this random cover of Yesterday by the Beatles. Like, no. In advance. No, with the careful on 13.
Wow. All right.
I mean, come on. Here we go. Number one is Aerosmith.
Yes, 3 Miles Smile.
I never heard that song, but it's unmistakably Aerosmith.
Ben Barton, give me one.
Number three is my guy, Steve Miller.
That is correct.
Jeff? Who is number two?
I'm going to guess 50 Cent.
It's our old friend, Cameron.
Cameron. No way.
Okay.
Got That's it great. For cheap.
Number four is Ted Leo and the Pharmacists.
Ben Barton?
Isn't it Joe Jackson?
No, number four is Ted
number
Leo.
Four is Ted
oh,
Leo.
Got it. Sorry.
Throw out anyone.
Number five is the worst band I've ever heard.
I think number five, I have a guess of Elton John.
Number five is Alabama.
That was right. It is the worst band I've ever heard.
That's their song is called If It Ain't Dixie. They bring us all across the world, but yeah, they realize in the end, if it ain't Dixie. All right,
number six,
Patti
Smith from Birdland.
Good. Number seven is Super Hard.
I've heard that song before, and it's driving me a little crazy because I recognize that guy's voice, but I cannot place. The song is called Autumn, right?
It is.
So it's one of those, at least I got that for you.
It's one of those names in music that I've heard so much of and never heard a song by the guy. Edgar Winter.
Oh, my God. That's the guy. That's the same album that Frankenstein is on. That's why it makes no sense. That's the same record as
Ba-da-da-da-ba-da. Oh, yeah. No, I know who Edgar Winter is for sure. I just can't believe that that's by
that's
him.
That's why I've heard it.
I had Loggins and Messina. So.
Yeah. That totally fits.
That's a great guess.
Ben, did you get number eight?
So that's the Billy Bragg song, New England.
Christy McCall's cover. Yeah.
Right.
Of Billy Bragg. By the way, that song is not about New England. Minus five for the host for taking a New England and making it a song about New England. Very funny.
Number nine.
Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, nice. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Ben Barton, tell me about Fountains of Wayne.
They're from New Jersey, but they were one of the guys in the band was living up in Vermont, I think, when he wrote Valley Winter Song. And I strongly recommend Valley Winter Song. I almost chose it. It's a way better selection than the song I actually chose, which is going to make everybody really mad.
Oh, good. I can't wait for that.
And did he, the lead singer died a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, there's like three different guys who were singers and songwriters in it, though. They were like a pop band where a lot of different guys sang and worked together.
Deva, what's their most famous song?
Stacy's Mom, which is not a good song. But Valley Winter Song is a great song. And they wrote the, one of the guys wrote the That Thing That You Do from the Tom Hanks fake Beatles.
Yeah.
This is a great song.
All right. So you got, let's see, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have six. Do you, anyone know number 10?
That's either Belly or Throwing Muses, because that's Tanya Donnelly singing. So I'm going to go with Belly.
It is Tanya Donnelly from a solo album. Nice job. That is impressive.
Oh, we're going to get that one? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, all right. Yeah. It's her singing. Yeah. All right.
And then the next guy is Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers, rock music's preternatural 11-year-old.
It is Jonathan Richman, star of Something About Mary. 6, 7. We're at 8. Your boy, number 12, Ben.
It's Paul Simon.
I got to tell you, I did not mind Simon and Garfunkel until this podcast started. And now every time I hear that voice, I think of Ben's visceral reaction to it. And I'm like, I start to have it too. I'm like,
that song is great, though, even though he uses Peruvian flutes on it, which is usually unforgivable. But that song, Duncan, is great. In my humble
that
opinion.
Is one of your favorite songs by him, but I just disagree. That song also
is one of my all-time favorites. It might be my top three all-time Paul Simon songs.
I would get up and shut off the computer if that came on. That was just miserable. All right, number 13.
I think song that's is the Wagon Old Crow Wheel. Medicine Show version of it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying too. Wagon Wheel, Old Crow Medicine Show, and I don't care if we're wrong. We get full credit for knowing that song.
It's not the Darius Rucker version, so your choices include
I intentionally went with the Darius Rucker version.
Well, then you just said Darius Rucker, so there you go.
But I will give it to you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Number 14, Jeff Simons.
Is the Decemberists.
It is the Decemberists.
That's what that voice is.
You get the 11 points. And for funsies, the last one.
I had the chiffons.
I have Ella Fitzgerald.
It was the Andrews Sisters. Massachusetts.
That's a good one.
Oh, you guys, that was impressive, man.
That was some good teamwork right there. That really felt like the sum was greater than the individual parts for that one.
That was the goal of the bit from the very beginning, was something like that. The two of you together. All right. We got to get to our favorite son or daughter song. Again, I don't think we've explained this totally. The podcast is New England, excluding Boston. So
correct.
We got a lot at our fingertips.
By the way, there's an easy answer to this, and you probably didn't choose this person, and I'm going to be mad.
Oh, shoot. For the most popular artist?
Oh, yeah. By a mile. Non-Boston most popular artist is from, born in New Haven, Connecticut.
You're not going with the Carpenters?
Oh, no. No, the Carpenters are number two in the state of Connecticut.
I moved the Carpenters to California. I don't think they count as
No. First of all, Connecticut claims them, believe me. I know. And they're only claiming them because they're hoping to bump Michael Bolton off as the top artist in Connecticut. So if you don't choose a Michael Bolton song, you're cheating.
But didn't he start in like Oklahoma or something?
He is from Connecticut. Look up the charts where they list the things from the states, he's the guy.
Looks like he's from Connecticut.
Oh, I mean, for sure. Come on. It explains a lot.
Not look like he's from Oklahoma.
Well, unfortunately for you, the favorite son or daughter of New England, excluding Boston, is a band. Hit it, Jeff.
Welcome. This is a farmhouse. We have cluster flies, alas, and this time of year. We are so very sorry, there is little we can do but swat them. She didn't beg, or not enough. She didn't stay when things got tough. I told a lie, she got mad. She wasn't there when things got bad. I never ever saw the
Fish, most popular band from New England in terms of listens. Do you know they've had 15 studio albums?
I did know that.
And then they put out 13 live albums?
More than that, actually. It's like 350 live albums because every show is available. 13
official live albums, I guess I would say. Wow.
So am I right, Tim, that we're... One of the things I love about people from New England is they think New England is more important than New England is. So we're doing this partly as an homage to that, but we're doing the New England, not Boston podcast.
That's then we're doing this one right now.
Yes. And then we're going to do a case for PHOR or against Fish with Rich Price as our guest as part two. And then we're going to finally do Boston. So it's really a New England trilogy.
It is a trilogy.
Okay.
I love it.
Wait, but then we have an artist in residence for Boston. So then it's really actually a four-parter.
Oh, wow. The Henriad all over again.
No, for sure. And then we'll think we're done. We'll do the artist in residence as four. And then Tim will be like, next week, Connecticut, shine up your Carpenters.
Well, I can't wait to chop it up about Fish. I have been listening very weirdly. I've been listening to Fish a lot all fall.
Interesting.
And I have a whole bunch of new hard opinions, and I cannot wait to go toe-to-toe with Ben. Cannot wait.
I have a lot of old hard opinions.
I know, it's great. I can't wait.
Well, I also want to bring up two items. Went to Robot Lady's sister-in-law's house for Thanksgiving. Lovely time. Great get together with the families. And young nephew Will was so impressed with how many widespread panic shows the robot lady went to in her time. Because here he is at the age of 25, listening to Panic all the time. Ben Barton,
not Panic at the Disco, but widespread panic.
How many widespread panic shows did the robot lady go to back in the day?
So I've sat through half of one. And that was a plenty. A plenty.
I have also been to 1.5 widespread panic
let's
shows.
Let's go ahead. I'm going to put the over-under at 10.5.
Oh, under. Under.
I'm going to take the over.
It is over. The over. It is 15.
So first of all, no one brags about going to 8 widespread panic shows, Jeff. Seriously. 8 is not a good number. You have to get to 11.
How on earth did Helen find her way accidentally into 12 widespread panic shows? That's insanity.
She even talked about, is it Dave Schools, the lead singer or something?
Maybe.
Leaving a joint in her living room when she was teaching in Athens. Yeah.
Okay, so they were friends.
No, like he knew her roommate or something like that.
But that would be, so she got in free.
No, I mean, I think she paid money. I mean,
if you paid money to see widespread panic more than one time.
If you go to 50,
this is the woman who, when you met her, had only 2 CDs in her car and they were both musicals, right?
You might have to travel to see 15 widespread panic shows. You might be on the road.
I cannot process this information.
Yeah, it's shocking.
And it's not associated with a boyfriend. There's not a boyfriend here who dragged her to these shows. As far as you know, Timmy, there wasn't one. You're just going to go ahead and go with you here.
As far as I know. But it's good that she's back into our conversation because there has been a faithful listener, Nina, missing the names of songs, missing the names of bands. Is it time to bring Robot Lady out of retirement? Do the people want her back?
Well, first obviously, we didn't retire her. I don't want to bug the Robot Lady.
You're in charge, Timmy.
She was let go. It was tough.
Contract negotiations broke down. Huh?
All right. I'm going to name 5 things from New England, and you are going to rate them on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being excellent, 1 being terrible.
Oh, can't we just rank them against each other?
We'll
do both. We'll do both. Sorry.
Okay,
I don't mean to interrupt your bit.
See if that works.
Right.
Grindr.
That came from New England?
Yeah, Grindr's from New England.
Like not from Boston, New England? Where? New Worcester?
England. It could have been a Worcester.
It sounds more like a Worcester thing.
Do we like
I have no opinion on that. I've never used it.
No, or seen it. I've only seen people supposedly using it in Texas.
This is so awkward. A Grindr is a toasted sub.
I see what you did there.
Sorry. All right, I'll move on.
When you did that in your head, did you pause for laughter, or did you just hope that it would come?
All right, what about frap?
I have had many a frap. I worked at an ice cream store for 2 different summers on Nantucket, so I've made many a frap. The black and white is the correct answer to what kind of frap to get, and they are delicious. I don't like them with malt.
Okay, malt is out.
I like them all. I'm an equal opportunity frap guy. I agree the black and white is the way to go.
Candlepin bowling.
Stupid. Fucking hate candlepin bowling. I have hard opinions on this. The ball is, it's like trying to roll a softball all the way down an alley to hit pins that are twice its weight and have no interest in being moved. Candlepin bowling is like, I just hate it. Like once I never wanted to bowl again in my life after going candlepin bowling 3 times. And I finally got talked into it. And I was like, wait, you get to use this real ball that actually has a fighting chance. It changed the whole thing for me. If you were allowed to throw the candlepin ball overhand, then I would like it. But I just hate and also
this
all the
is
balls.
Such a terrible
like
take by Jeff.
Giant chunks out of it. Jump. The ones Maryland had like it was barely a ball. It would it had such big chunks out of each ball that it would like go and like lose its rolling of capability. Ugh.
Allow me to translate Jeff's take on candlepin bowling.
Yes.
Jeff does not drink enough to enjoy candlepin bowling.
I was 9. What are you talking about?
I understand. Listen, the candlepin bowl, it's like the people who are like, oh, I don't play softball because, you know, I played hardball and I'm much more serious about it. I'm like, you've misunderstood softball. Like, if you're taking softball seriously, you're bad at softball. If you're not drunk candlepin bowling, what are we doing here?
What are we doing?
Okay. Wow. Well, that makes a lot more sense. I thought it was for children. I thought candlepin bowling was to shame children.
No. It's like so it can fit in a bar.
I had no idea that you had such an opinion, Justin. We've known each other for so long. I did not know it was going to trigger you this way. I'm sorry.
It was. I can't remember the name of the decrepit bowling alley in Annapolis where, like, it was like the lazy parents' birthday pick every time.
Oh no!
And it was always they didn't call it candlepin bowling. It was called duck pin down here or down there.
Duck pin. Hated it. The next item is the lobster roll.
I like a good lobster roll, although it's hilariously overpriced. Okay. I mean, it's like a hot dog with lobster and it costs $37. So I don't get why people are willing to pay so much for them, but they're good.
And finally,
wait, that's it? There's no pushback on that? Or?
I don't eat seafood.
Ben?
I can't eat bread, but basically anything, any flesh with mayonnaise is great. And it's my understanding that a lobster roll is flesh with mayonnaise, so we're good here.
Aren't you glad I pushed a little bit? Any flesh with mayonnaise is good is our new slogan, and that is all there is to it.
We've been looking for the trailer.
If that's not on a t-shirt by Christmas, then the marketing department.
What are we doing? Yeah, we've been looking for our trailer. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And finally, the last thing from New England that you're going to rate. Tim Plain.
Oh, five stars, aww. Five stars.
Six.
Let's go.
Breaks the scale.
Sure. Actually, born in New Jersey. All right, let's go. Let's hit our three songs or events or people or venues for New England, excluding Boston. What do we got? Who gets to go first? I can't remember.
I think it's me. Who can name a band that formed in Sunapee, New Hampshire? But do it, Timmy.
Are you talking about Aerosmith?
I am indeed, Timmy. Nice. The selection this week is Aerosmith. If you're doubting whether they're actually from New Hampshire, that's fair. They basically played all their shows in Boston.
It really is. But
they did, in fact, meet and form in Sunapee, New Hampshire, and only the Sunapee, New Hampshire Historical Society can claim Aerosmith History Day, the annual celebration of Aerosmith in Sunapee, New Hampshire.
That is a great fact.
And in defense of choosing something, listen, any real New England band ends up in Boston. That's it. Boston's the circling the drain or the magnet or however you want to put it. It actually is. Boston's actually the London of this whole area. Like anything that's of any use just hoovers up down into there. Or, I mean, humorously, Timmy was going to make us do Providence.
Right.
Do you know who, they claim Talking Heads for Providence.
Yes, they do.
They're RISD graduates, even though they formed in New York and never went back. Like never looked back for a second.
Really?
But yeah, no. So Aerosmith, the two main players in Aerosmith got to be buddies in Sunapee, New Hampshire. That was where they spent their summers. Steven Tyler still has a house in Sunapee, New Hampshire, and brings his kids there. I love Aerosmith. We had a brief conversation about Aerosmith where Timmy picked first gen Aerosmith. So I'm going to embarrass all of you by choosing second gen Aerosmith.
Oh my God.
I am very happy to report is in fact my favorite Aerosmith.
Where is Brian?
Not only that, all of my favorite Aerosmith songs are co-written by Desmond Child. All of them. I love Desmond Child.
Who's Desmond Child? So,
Desmond Child is this half Hungarian, half Cuban songwriter who is known for heavy metal ballads and beloved heavy metal ballads. So let's go here. What do we get? He's got Kisses, I Was Made for Loving You, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, I Hate Myself for Loving You. So he's off to a good start, right?
Yeah,
he's got the Loving You duo. Then just listen to these bangers. You Give Love a Bad Name, Living on a Prayer, Bad Medicine, and Born to Be My Baby with Bon Jovi.
Oh!
And then the Aerosmith songs include Dude Looks Like a Lady, Angel, What It Takes, Crazy, and F-I-N-E are all.
Which crazy. I hope is your choice. I mean, so many.
Oh, no. Oh, no, my friend. No. I'm definitely choosing What It Takes.
But your whole life was F-I-N-E when we were in college.
I know, but no, that's because...
That's more than oxygen.
What it, That's because I loved Pump. I absolutely loved Pump. I thought Pump was fantastic. That's first. Second, I love a good comeback story, and Jeff will know. And Timmy, have you done this? Have you listened to all the Aerosmith records, including the ones, The Valley in the Middle?
No, God, no.
Oh, dude, it's really worth doing. The one that they put out in the middle after the guitarist left is so unbelievably bad.
Uh-huh.
Jaw-droppingly bad. And then they made it back, and then Pump is an actual legit true-to-life great record. There's five or six really good songs on that. Jeff is right, in college, at points when I was in an up-tempo mood, Fine was my favorite. But after a hard breakup, there's nothing like What It Takes, because you need to know what it takes to let them go. I think we all could feel that.
They also
quote
the song F-I-N-E in What It Takes.
I know, that's where we're going at minute 129. Girl, before I met you, I was F-I-N-E
fine.
The thing that's fucking hilarious about Desmond Child, first of all, I mean, the chords are so gloopy. It's amazing. And all of his ballads sound the same. And the words are so unbelievably aggressively stupid. It kills me every single time. 129.
Coming up. Here we go. Ready? Action.
Girl, before I met you, I was F-I-N-E fine. But your love made me a prisoner. Yeah, my heart's been doing time. Spend me up like money. Oh, then you hung me out to dry. It was easy to keep all your lies in disguise.
Love that one.
Good.
Absolutely
stuff.
Love that one. It is so jam-packed with dumb things.
It's amazing.
Me in deep with the devil in your eyes. It's literally, they're just like, those words, none of those make sense together. What is going on here? And then you can hear it better on the first chorus, but there's an accordion that they jam into that chorus for no reason whatsoever.
I have two great Aerosmith stories, one of which I just heard for the first time. I'll tell you that one second. The first one is, if you haven't seen the documentary, The Making of Pump, I cannot recommend it highly enough. Ben, I'm sure you have seen it. The 2-hour, like in the studio with these guys, where you realize that this band is hanging on by a thread all the time. Like Joey Kramer has a twitch. Like he actually has a facial tic. And they're like, what happened? He's like, that's Steven Tyler. Steven is the twitch in my face. Like, he drives me so crazy. I just want to kill myself, but we just have to keep this band together. And just watching those five guys try to talk to each other with those, I mean, Joe Perry's New England accent is so hilariously thick after 40 years of fame. He could have hired anybody to get rid of that voice. He's like, he really sounds like a guy losing a Sylvester Stallone sound-alike contest. So I can't recommend that enough. But here's the thing I heard. So Jerry Becker, who was our wonderful Cleveland host, I mentioned that was going to his 50th birthday party. It did not disappoint. It was hilarious. So many people I hadn't seen in years were there, including regular listener Cal Reichenbach, who told me this story that they got from Jerry. So you know that big bands play with what are called in-ear monitors, okay. Meaning they're getting the music right into earphones that they're wearing. They're not using front monitors, and they're all getting a unique individual mix. So Steven Tyler's got something called the Noises Mix, and it is Looney Tunes sound effects, like or like, and he's so ADD and he's so bored by doing all these songs over and over and over again that on some nights he turns the sound to the monitor guy and says, I need the noises tonight. And so randomly through the show, they just put Looney Tunes noises. Sound effects into Steven Tyler's ears, like Elmer Fudd chasing Bugs Bunny, just to keep him entertained, just to keep him going through the 90-minute Aerosmith greatest hit set. And I guess every sound guy knows it. And it's like a hilarious open
that
secret.
That is amazing.
Wasn't that the greatest? It made me love him like 1,000 times more. I just thought that was the greatest thing ever. The idea that he's up there like, walk this way. And in his head is like, I thought I taught pointing to. He's just totally in his own space.
That's really funny.
Great choice. That song, that bridge is great. I mean, that guy's you're right. Those songs are stupid, but that if you ever want to teach somebody how to count 6/4, that da 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 da, all those triplets over a 4-beat. I mean, that's the perfect 10 seconds to explain to people how to break 4 into 6. 1 2 3, 1 2 3, 1 2 3, 1 2 3. Boom. It's great. Love it.
I have no idea what you just said, but I'm wondering, didn't Steven talk, does he not even write the lyrics? It's this Hungarian Cuban dude writing the lyrics?
It's a collaboration.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, that's a good collaboration right there.
Yeah,
that
no, song for sure.
Kicks butt. Yeah. I love it. That song comes on and the kids know it's sing along time. So fun. All right, Jeff Simons, what do you got?
I'm going a totally wild different direction. So, when the Rich Price band was making its record, we were in Connecticut, of all places. We were at a place called the Carriage House, and it was a fancy studio. It was a really cool experience. And we were working with an engineer named Brian Humphreys, and he had come from Los Angeles to do the record. And so he was getting all these cool files from other engineers. And it was just at the moment when you could send stems and MP3s digitally, like back and forth really quickly. It was, 2003. So that the technology of like, here's a whole record into your inbox. And so we're making the record and he tells us like, I just got something from a friend of mine. He just recorded it. This record's coming out in 6 months and it's so beautiful. I just want to share it with somebody. And he gives it to us and we are blown away. Like, I cannot believe how much I love the first three songs on this record. This is a guy he's a New Hampshire guy who was like had some kind of 9-to-5 and his clock radio woke him up one morning and it was a Stephen Stills solo song. And he hears 20 seconds of it and says, that's what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. I want to be a musician. Just has an epiphany, quits his job, buys an acoustic guitar, teaches himself how to play it, writes a whole bunch of songs and makes this solo debut. His name is Ray LaMontagne.
Let's go.
Ray LaMontagne is just getting going, just as the Rich Price band is getting going. So we actually played a couple of shows with him. In fact, the biggest show I ever played with Rich was at a big Colorado festival where Ray was opening for us. And his record wasn't even out yet. And we were all such slobbering fans of his because we'd had an advanced copy of his record and had been playing it in our van. And we kind of freaked him out. Like, we bum rushed him backstage, like, we love your record and we're such big fans. And I remember we tried to get a picture with him and he's like, I'm not really comfortable having my photograph taken. He was like quiet and introverted. He looked like he needed to eat like 20 turkey sandwiches and really frail. And I was like, geez, I don't know if this guy's going to be able to. And he went out there and opened for us and just blew us off the stage with his voice. So this is a song called Shelter. It's the opposite of the song Ben played. What It Takes is all about modern recording. It's on Pro Tools. It's on a click track. It's very deliberately like booms, bots. It's not that, and it's great. This is a song without a click track, and you can hear it. It's breathing. It slows down in the chorus in ways that modern music isn't supposed to do. And I'm disappointed with Ray's career after this record. I'll admit, like every record he puts out, I wish it was a little different and a little bit better. But like a lot of artists, he had one fantastic record in him, and it's this one. And this is my favorite song of him. So I think my favorite artist from New England, or at least New Hampshire, apologies to Aerosmith, is Ray LaMontagne. This song's called Shelter.
Beautiful stuff.
When it breaks that high G and the chorus and it just floats away and you just like, there's no semblance of beat anymore. That sounds great.
First time I heard him was at Jay Tandon's wedding. That was their wedding song. Not that what song, but I was like, oh, God, who is this? Yeah. And they made a little wedding CD and I wore that thing out. He was great. Ben Barton, do you like Ray LaMontagne?
I have mixed feelings about Ray LaMontagne. I'm happy to report that longtime listener Lisa Sorensen, beloved wife of Scott Schimmel, is a huge, huge Ray LaMontagne fan.
All right.
She must have seen him 5 or 6 different times. When I pressed her on it, I was like, what's the deal with this? This slow crooner, like gravelly voice thing. She's like, have you seen how hot he is? And I was like, oh, okay, fair.
He looks so much better.
Schimmel, being a good husband and a good sport, has attended all of these shows.
All right.
That's amazing. He was not hot when he got started. He had the good nutrition of a modestly successful career had not kicked in yet. He looked like he was sleeping in the back of his truck when I met him. But
yeah, a lot of steak fries and fribbles in New England. I'll tell
exactly.
You what.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Well, it's so fun to start this trilogy with you. You know, of course, raised in Massachusetts in the Boston area, went to grad school up in Vermont. My mom is from Augusta, Maine, so we'd go to Maine all the time. I lived in Hartford, Connecticut for 2 years, teaching there in Hartford. My sister.
Those are the glory years, right? Those are really, yeah. It was all downhill from there.
I was young and fresh. Both sisters went to schools in Rhode Island, Providence College and Salve Regina. And New Hampshire is where we'd go on Sundays to buy beer because couldn't buy beer in Massachusetts. So I have a strong connection to every state in New England. And I am going to go with a Boston band that, like Ben's band, got its start outside of Boston at Worcester Polytech.
Oh, come on now. Are we going to Jay Giles?
Yeah,
yeah, we are.
Jay Giles. Oh, freeze frame. I can't wait. Or did you go Centerfold?
Better. I think.
Oh, no.
Hit it?
Hit it. Jay Giles, that song would come, just that opening guitar lick would be on WBCN all the time. I guess Peter Wolf used to be a DJ there back in the day. That song, I mean, it's no Freeze Frame, sure, but that song kicks butt.
First of all, you got Nikki Cannon very excited when you chose Jay Giles, and she was just like, couldn't decide which she'd rather hear, Centerfold or Freeze Frame. Then you played that, and she was definitely like, whoa, stop. How does this thing stop?
What happened?
And with the more cowbell, they really, they gave Don't Fear the Reaper a run for the money with the more cowbell, for sure.
How hilarious is that cowbell? I also love the like little honks on the harmonica, because Jay Giles himself's being left at the, like, honk, honk. Like, song has the funniest little, like, wah, wah, little tiny harmonica part in the verses.
So the guy that the band is named for, all he does is play the harmonica?
No, he's a guitar player.
He's a guitarist, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Magic Dick is the harmonica player?
I was going to make you say it, yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that. That's good stuff. And then Peter Wolf, the irrepressible lead singer.
Peter Wolf's a great personality. He was a great DJ. He's just like all screaming patter, a million miles an hour. Great front man. And he made the solo record Lights Out, which is a classic.
I love that song. Lights Out. Uh-huh. Good stuff. Any final thoughts on Jay Giles?
My favorite old Jay Giles song is It Ain't What You Do, It's How You Do It. Do you know that one?
I don't. What's that like?
Well, I'll just play the first 10 seconds of it. Here we go. It just has that, like, and trying to do.
We gonna get this one crazy, baby. Let it hang it out. Ooh, yeah. Come on, mama. Turn it out.
If you keep listening to it, like, everybody in the band is trying to pull focus. Like, the drummer's like, it's like the last song on their second record, and they obviously were like, let's just have one take where everybody does whatever the hell they want, and they were like, that one's on the record,
all right.
It cracks me up.
I like the old-fashioned bar band sound of both of
those. Oh, me too.
Sure. India Can Cannon won't like it, but I'll definitely like it. The go-to bar on Nantucket, the Chicken Box. Nice. Because it's an actual chicken coop turned into a bar. Was where a band that sounded like that would play, for sure.
That's awesome.
Good stuff. Hey, if you like this, stick around. Our artist in residence this time for all of New England is Mark Netter, CEO of Electrocast. But Ben Barton, you'll be happy to know he focused in on Providence, Rhode Island for the most part.
All was good.
All about the kind of shows he saw. I mean, really, like, saw the original tour of The Clash. Saw Talking Heads in Rhode Island. Yeah, good stuff. If you've ever been to Lupo's Heartbreak Hotel in Providence, Rhode Island, you will want to listen to our Artist in Residence podcast later this week. And so when we get together next time, we're going to come with our top five jam bands and our case for or against Phish.
Can you even name five jam bands that you like, Ben?
Number one is Pearl Jam, and if they don't count, then we're gonna have a hard time.
Well, that's gonna be really interesting, because like when you look at Wikipedia's list of jam bands, it's everybody who's ever played an instrument,
had a guitar solo.
They claim everyone, but if you take the really strict like bands that are going to play songs that are 17 minutes long.
Oh, you know what I could choose is the Black Crowes. I like the Black Crowes.
See, that's interesting. I would get right on the edge, right? So that'll be an equally fascinating little part of our conversation.
They are no longer on the edge. Maybe they're on the edge like their first album, but then they quickly.
I want to know which five Fluffhead performances Ben prefers from the Phish catalog. I can't wait for this.
All right, gentlemen. Good times. Good work today. I'll see you next time on the 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys podcast. Well, look at me like signing off.
I know. That was good. I got a little chill there. That was great.
Talk to you later.
Bye friends.
Electric Acid. Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for the Candle Power Hour.
Miles, are you ready to record our promo for season 2 of the WannaBet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season 2 starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but WannaBet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. No more movie quotes.
Roger, roger.
Electric Acid. Electric Acid.